Fire. Thank you, Alan and Bill. Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from the book of Mark in the first chapter, verses 29 through 39. Out of reverence for the gospel, I'll ask you to stand for the reading. Hear now the word of God. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they had told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick and possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I have came to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
I want to say thank you to the choir, too. That is a beautiful anthem. Thank you so much, Alan. Bill, thank you so much. That is gorgeous, and we are so blessed. Do you see Jesus clearly? That's an important question that I think we all have to grapple with, because it helps us understand who Jesus is for us and how our faith can be lived out in everyday life. So this morning, I want to start off with a picture, some pictures. Here is a picture of a beautiful church. Now, what church is that? It's ours. How about that? It's our church. And it is so gorgeous. And I would gather to say that thousands of people drive by our church every single day. And my question is, do they know who we are just by driving by and seeing the beautiful facility? Maybe a little bit, but not really. Do they know what's important to us? Do they know who we are and who we worship and how we serve? Do they see us clearly? I would imagine that most don't, especially those who don't come to church here on a regular basis and know what's going on. But if I shared with them pictures that I find on my iPhone of the things that we do, they would know more about us, right? Like, show one, the first one, Alexis. Here's our youth group enjoying a time of games in our fellowship hall. Woo! All right, next one. This is the women's retreat. Our women go off together on a weekend in the fall, and we enjoy a time of fellowship and a time of discussing of Scripture. This year we talked about friendships, and this is one of our discussion groups. The next one. Here's our work in missions. We spent one Friday night putting together health kits for people who were a long way away, who had gone through floods and difficulties in their home life. And we made those and sent them overseas. The next one. This is our fall festival. I had some really good ones. I had a really good one of you, Marcia, that I decided not to show. But anyway, if you want to see it later, I'll show you. But anyway, this is our fall festival. What a wonderful story that is to tell, that our community can see that we care about those who live in our midst. Next one. This is our preschool. And back at the Thanksgiving food drive, they have a chapel in here in the sanctuary twice a month. And so they brought food and put them in bins for to be given to our food drive. And boy, at the end of that, they overflowed. Next one. Here's our snowy live nativity scene. Do you remember that weekend or that week? I do. There was a lot of strange things going on. But look what we did. And we had a huge crowd who enjoyed fellowship and seeing the live nativity. And also had hot cocoa and cookies after it was over. And then the next one is our breakfast with Santa. I think it was the biggest one ever. And look at all those people. And the next one, this is at the family Christmas Eve service. And one of our little Marys that acted out the Christmas story on Christmas Eve day. These are all wonderful pictures that tell the story of who we are, just like the video that Jeff made for us about our basketball program. Now, this is not a complete picture album. That would take a little too long to look through today. But these are just a few of the things that were on my cell phone. Thank God for cell phones. And they do certainly help others understand who we are and help other people see us clearly. How can we see Jesus clearly? Well, we see him in his word, for one thing, and then through the experience that we share together, we see Christ. This morning in confirmation class, I was teaching the young people. We have about 7 young people who are participating in that this year. And we were talking about the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. And we were talking about how we test our faith by scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. So all of these things go to helping us see Jesus clearly. We have to be reminded of what we know about Jesus. We have to think of a picture of him that comes into our mind's eye that is more than just a character who was in a bunch of stories 2,000 years ago. We have to think about who Christ is for us. So I want us to turn our attention this morning to the passage from Mark that Jeff read for you just a minute ago. The season of the church year that we're in right now is Epiphany. And Epiphany is between Advent and Lent, and it can be known as sort of pictures of the Holy One, pictures of Jesus. And that's what we've been talking about since Advent, is events in Jesus' life that touch us in a very special way. And so today's gospel is meant to be included in our picture album of how we see Jesus. This morning we see a picture of Jesus as our friend. The picture has a personal touch to it as Mark recounts the story of Jesus' concern for a family member of one of his disciples. Now, if you look at Mark's gospel, it's a whole lot shorter than the other gospels because Mark, he just kind of told the story and moved on. But in this case, he thought it was important enough for those who read his word to be reminded that Jesus loved people and that he cared for people and that he was a friend to those that he worked with. And so he cared so much for Simon's mother-in-law that he healed her. It was significant to her. If we do not know this benevolent authority figure, but rather a trusted confidant, we are going to have a better understanding of who Jesus is for us. The old hymn goes, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." This cherished hymn captures beautifully a vital dimension of our relationship with God. Not only is God the ultimate power in the universe, he is my friend. He is personal. I can turn to God as a friend turns to another friend. I'm sure that God is grieving with us this morning as we remember our brother in Christ, Bob. Is this picture a part of your image of Jesus, of the Master? The second picture that Mark shows us is the one of Jesus, the healer. The scripture said the whole city gathered at his door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. Again, note that Mark wants us to know Jesus as one who restores persons to health and to wholeness. In an age dominated by medical science, in a day where there is high-tech medical care, we have to be reminded of this dimension of who Jesus was. Why? Because I must confess that sometimes I hesitate to pray for healing because modern medicine tells me that it's impossible. And I suspect it is because I am afraid of the person that I'm praying for, that somehow they won't be healed. And then that's saying that God really can't do what he said he can do. But of course, that's my human feelings. And the side of me that forgets that God's healing comes in lots of different ways. Physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, all of these things. And healing, I may not understand what healing really means and what it really looks like for another person. But it also means that I need to pray for healing for those who are hurting. And we need to remember that. The third picture of Jesus that I'll give you this morning is of the God as the God of the universe. The scripture says, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Mark wants us to see that Jesus doesn't confine himself to some favored few, but that his concern and compassion are for everybody, all the people of the world. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Jesus loves us all. And we need to remember that. That Jesus doesn't want us to confine ourselves just to our friends or just to the people who attend our church, but that God loves the world, the people in China, the people in the Central America, the people in South Africa. And we have to remember that we are the ones who are to minister to all of those people. The Bible makes crystal clear that God wants all of us to be saved. That's another way of saying that God wants to bring all people, back into a relationship with God. Isn't that what we're called to do? Amen? We are called to share the love of God so that all people might be saved. We need to remember that it's not just about me, but it's about them, bringing them to God's love. I realize that everything that I've just told you, you already knew. And I also realize that Mark's pictures of Jesus may well already be a part of who you think of when you think of Christ. That may be how you describe who Jesus is for you. So let's just say that today has totally been a picture album day. How many of you have picture albums? I have a whole shelf of them in my study at home. And what it reminded me of this morning, I thought of this morning, is that when I was a little girl, my father had a slide camera. Do you remember slides? That shows how old I am, I know. But he would go around and he took slides of everything. And he had boxes and boxes of these round things that you put the slides in and then put it on the slide projector and you could see what was happening. And every time grandma or grandpa or some relative would come, my dad would pull out the slide projector. And we would sit and look at pictures of 1974 Disney World. And yeah, I told you how old I was, okay? and all the things that happened to us in our lives. We need to remember that with our Christ, we have that picture album look in the Scriptures. And we need to remember and to experience again the images of who we are as God's family by studying His Word, by remembering the things that He did in the community, by experiencing those things ourselves and sharing them in the world. So that we can have a clear vision of who Jesus is in this world and in our lives. Just like we need for people to see clearly who we are as a church and what we're all about and the stories that make this place special. So I hope that you will spend some time thinking about what is it that helps you see Jesus clearly? And then think about what is it about this church that we want people to see so that we can share that love that Christ has for us forever. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you. We thank you that you've come to be with us, that you are our friend, that you are the God of the whole universe, that you are a healer God. Lord, help us to remember these stories and help us to experience you in ways that help us see your love clearly. I pray for this church that it will also be seen clearly in this community as a place that shares your love and wants to make disciples of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen.